Gospel record of John, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, you may or may not know, but we have four gospels in the Bible, not four gospels as in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we have four gospel records, and those are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the gospel record of John in chapter number 20 is our text this morning. Does anyone need a copy of God's Word? You need a Bible. We can bring one to you. Everybody needs a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one today. We also have another visitor over here as well. Sama's niece is visiting with us today. Thank you for coming. We're so glad to have you. If you haven't met her, beautiful young lady over there. And we're glad that she's here as well as Joel. No, Joel, right? Got it? Yep, good. Welcome. He lives close by and found us on good old Google. How about that? Isn't Google a great tool? And so we're so thankful to have guests coming. We're so glad to have Julia, your husband, is with you today. Thank you for coming. Glad to have you this morning. He just flew in on Thursday night, and they're going to have some family time, and so glad to have you. Welcome back. We're glad that you made it. We were praying safely for your trip, and that's exciting. John's Gospel, chapter number 20. Just follow along, please, as I read, beginning at verse number 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. If you'll draw your attention to that 21st verse, we'll find our theme. When Jesus said to the disciples, even so send I you. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, I pray that you will be honored and glorified in this preaching time. I believe you have been thus far, at least we've attempted to not bring praise to anyone or even the church, but to you, even to sing to your name. Father, we thank you for someone who brought the gospel to us because they were a sent one. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, empty me of self, fill me, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that we would not be distracted by what's coming next week, what happened last week, what's happening tonight. But right now, in these moments, may our attention be to your word and to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. This morning, I come to you with an admonition on behalf of those who live in a multi-million-dollar home but have no hope for eternity. I come to you on behalf of those who slept under a piece of cardboard last night. We have both in this community. And you can go not far from here in multi-million-dollar homes, and you can also see people sleeping in cardboard not far from here. I come to you on behalf of those who have never met their earthly father. And that provides an empty space. I come to you on behalf of those who have fled their country for a better place to live. I come to you this morning on behalf of those who have tattoos all over their body. And God loves them as much as God loves me. I come to you this morning on behalf of those who fell asleep last night not knowing where they were. You can find that all over the greater Vancouver area. You don't have to go to Maine and Hastings. You can find it here. You can find it just down the street in New West, here in Burnaby. Some of these people that I'm coming to you on behalf of work in the places that we shop. Some of these people work in the places where we fuel up our car or maybe charge up our car today, right? Some of these people are on the bus that we are riding on our way to our next appointment. Some of these people are riding the SkyTrain that we're riding on and on our way to work on Monday or are coming home on Friday. Some of these people might be your neighbor or my neighbor. Some walk on the same sidewalk that you walk on and I walk on, and we might meet them from time to time. We have no idea who they are. We have no idea the burdens that are on their heart. We have no idea how empty their life is because they look the look, and they even sometimes walk the walk, and they have a facade on. Some of them are at the same park you might go to and have a picnic, and they're in the park, they're in the table next to you or next to me, or their kids are playing on the same playground as our kids or our grandkids. Some of them go to school with us. You'd be surprised at how many teenagers are already addicted to vaping, and how many teenagers are already addicted to drugs, and how many teenagers are already addicted to alcohol because they have an empty spot and they're trying whatever they can try to fill that void. I'm talking 13 and 14-year-olds. I mean, in my day, it was maybe 18 and 19-year-olds that were already doing these things. And now it's 12 and 13 and 14. These people that I'm talking about this morning, who I'm petitioning and admonishing all of us about, they might be a coworker. They check in and they're there, and their weekend is not quite the same as your weekend and my weekend. Their weekend might have been filled with who knows what. Not everybody necessarily parties on the weekend, but like Pastor Kevin said, I'm glad we can be in church this morning, and some are sick and cannot be with us today, and we're praying for them. But we are in the right place today, by the way. And you're in the right place not because I'm here, but because the Word is here. You're in the right place not because it's Anchor Baptist Church, but because we're saying, even so, send I you. This is something that is not just for the 11 disciples or 12 disciples or whoever total was there on that day that the statement was made. This statement is for us today. People are everywhere that need to know that God loves them. They're everywhere. Folks, time is short. The need is great. And as the Bible said, Jesus said, even in Matthew's gospel, laborers are few. Now, I'm thankful for the laborers that we have at Anchor Baptist Church. I praise God. And if you're looking for a working, praying church, that's what this is. It is not a perfect church by any stretch of the imagination. But we are seeking to pray and seek to get God's hand on things and will on things. And then labor, because we must labor. We must work, for the night is coming when man works no more. People are everywhere that need to know a relationship with God is possible only through Jesus Christ. There's people all over the greater Vancouver area that have an idea of what it means to have a relationship with God. And I'm not being unkind in any way, because it's all they've ever been taught. And so what else would they believe, right? It's what they've been taught. Which is why it is our responsibility to take not what we believe necessarily, but what God's Word says. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot take you to heaven. But this book has a way that you can get to heaven. We'll be talking about that as we get into the message. As we look at our text this morning, we find that we are in a place in the Word of God where the Lord Jesus has died. He is hung on a cross. Think about it now. He is hung on a cross and he is bled. And the Bible says that he was not even recognizable as a man. You could not even tell. It was like a hunk of flesh, if you will, bloodied and just all of that. And his arms were outstretched and nailed to the cross. And his feet were nailed together at the bottom of the cross. And he agonized in pain, and eventually he would say, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He would say those very encouraging words to some, if you know what I'm talking about, but it would be his last in his human form, in his human body. He would say, "It is finished." And he bowed his head. He would be carefully taken off of that cross and placed in a borrowed tomb. Praise God, you go to that tomb today, wherever it's at, Jerusalem, you won't find a body, you won't find bones, you won't find any dust, you won't find any trace of a human, any way, shape, or form. Why? Because up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. One day we'll reign with him, my friend, if you're saved. One day we'll reign with him, and he will, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's now, the disciples have found themselves in an upper room and they're scared. This is not what they had in mind. Even though he told them time and time again it was going to happen, and yet it happened. And I mean, it scared them. I mean, it caused Peter to deny him three times. But everybody was gone save John at the foot of the cross. Everybody else was gone. This is the first Sunday morning following his burial. He arose in victory. And we find the scene of our text in verse number 19, as we read it just a moment ago. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. Can you imagine what it must have been like as they were there and the doors were shut? Look what it says in verse 19. They were assembled for fear of the Jews. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you that God hath not given you the spirit of fear. God did not give the disciples the spirit of fear. God does not give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're having trouble with what you're thinking life, it isn't from God, it's from the enemy. And I'm so thankful today as a Christian, we can cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bring into captivity every thought. But they were afraid. They weren't bringing into captivity every thought. They were scared. I mean, this was the miracle man. This was the man who raised Lazarus from the dead, and now he's dead. But Mary Magdalene comes with a message of hope, and she says, "I've seen the Lord. Guys, I've seen the Lord." Sure enough, Sunday, the Lord's Day. In the middle of that moment of fear, I don't think he needed the door to open. I don't think he needed to knock. The Bible just says, came Jesus and stood in the midst. He just walked right through the wall, whatever. He just walked right through it. And there he was. And he said, like he said to them many times, they had heard him say it before, "Peace be unto you." I love what it says. Then were the disciples glad. Oh, what a change. You know why? Because what a change takes place when we see Jesus. When we don't see the things that are bringing us down anymore, instead we see Jesus, guess what happens? we are glad. We are no longer sad. When we see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we are glad and no longer sad. We are no longer fearful. We are glad that Jesus is in our midst. And I'm so thankful today that He is there seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for all believers. And today, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit of God indwelling us, that will never leave us and never forsake us. And Jesus says to the disciples a very pointed message, and it's the message for this hour. Verse number 21, He says it again, "Peace be unto you." How about that? Twice. "As my Father hath sent me." And if you mark your Bible in any way, shape, or form with a pen or circle letters or words, you don't have to, but if you do, that's the theme. "Even so send I you." Jesus was not sent as a philosopher like Plato or Aristotle, though He knew higher philosophy than all of them. Jesus was not sent as an inventor or a discoverer, though He could have invented new things and discovered new lands if He chose. Jesus was not sent as a conqueror, though He was mightier than Alexander or Caesar put together. Jesus was sent with a message. Jesus was sent to live among the people for 33 years. Jesus was sent to suffer for truth and righteousness. Jesus was sent to die, as we mentioned already. Jesus on the cross and be risen again. Jesus was sent to rescue men. I want you to think about why Jesus was sent. And I want to encourage us today that that is the same reason why we are sent as well. You say, "We're sent to die on the cross?" No, we're sent to die to self and pick up our cross every day and follow Him. So yes, a cross is involved in my life too. We are sent ones today. We are disciples. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you are not just someone who should be coming to church and that's the extent of your Christianity. You are a sent one. I am a sent one. And what I just described, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We are not supposed to segregate ourselves and only be around believers. We're not to be a monk and go up into the mountain somewhere and live there for the rest of our life. No, we're to live amongst the people, as Jesus did. Why? Because we're special? No, because the Holy Ghost of God that indwells us and the Savior that is interceding for us and the God who loves us is very special. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are very special. We today, who are followers of Jesus Christ, have been sent to rescue men and women. My wife had the opportunity yesterday to share the gospel with a gentleman. I won't say his name because we're online, but she had the opportunity to share the gospel with a gentleman at the Metrotown SkyTrain station. And this is what he said to her. He said, "You know, my grandma used to give me pocket Bibles all the time." Here he was, probably 40s, give or take. What does he remember about his childhood? He remembers that his grandma gave him pocket Bibles. We may come back to that in a minute. By the way, he got saved yesterday at the Metrotown SkyTrain station. He heard the gospel and he bowed his head and confessed and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Right there out in the God's good old fresh air. We are sent ones. We have been sent to deliver the message of the gospel. Many of you may know this. The gospel equals good news. Would you take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Please. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15 and 1. Verse 1, please. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. There's part 1, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, that's part 2. And that he rose again, that's part 3. The third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the message that Jesus said to his disciples, some of his last words, and even really his last words. Remember when he was ascending up, he said, "Why stand ye here gazing?" You know, I just told you to go, and that you've been sent, like my Father sent me, I've sent you, so go. The question I have for all of us today who are followers of Jesus Christ is this. Are you able to communicate the gospel message you have been sent to deliver? Think about the question and ask it. Can you personalize it? So I would say, am I able to deliver the gospel message that I have been sent to deliver? Now, first off, most of you know me, but some of you are newer. There's no way I can deliver the gospel by myself. I'm not saying that at all. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, he's not sending angels down to tell people about Jesus. He sent you. He sent me. Somebody told you about Jesus on the radio, on the TV, on the internet, passing by. Coming to church. So ask yourself that question. Am I able to communicate the gospel message we have been sent to deliver? In other words, can you share the gospel with someone? You may say, I can share the gospel in my mother tongue. Praise the Lord. We have a lot of mother tongues in here today, okay? I'm not saying, can you share the gospel in English? I'm saying, can you share the gospel with someone? Can you show someone from the Word of God how they can be saved? We had 20 kids here on Wednesday night, 18 the previous two nights. We had 18 kids that came every night. That's amazing. They all came, 18, 18, and then 20, and that had the 18 plus two new. It was amazing. Several of them, when it came down to the end of the Bible lesson, and I wasn't here, I was resting a bit, but something like this was said, if you don't know you're on your way to heaven, raise your hand, or something like that was said. And there was an opportunity for adults and teenagers as well, even, to take the Bible and show whoever raised their hand, at least asking them, you know, why did you raise your hand, or, you know, and going through the gospel plan with them. It was an opportunity for them. Remember, this is a commission for all believers. It is not set aside for the pastoral staff. It is not set aside only for the patch club workers. It is not set aside for people who have been saved 20 plus years. All of us this morning that know Christ, we are, as Jesus said in John chapter 20, we have been sent, as were the disciples. In a day when so many people are searching for hope, it is imperative that everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior be able to tell someone else how they can be saved or born again. By the way, I'm gonna talk to you about it here this morning. I really feel led of the Lord, and I don't need necessarily confirmations, if you will. If I believe that's what God is leading me to do, that's all the confirmation I need. But I had two after the fact that were as plain as the nose on my face that God was saying, this is the time. What I'm going to give you this morning here in just a moment is not the only message of the gospel. There's one gospel message. It can be presented in various ways. But here's the call today from my heart, and here's the cry from all those groups of people that we were talking about. Tell me about Jesus. And they may not be coming all of them up to us and saying, what must I do to be saved? But they're there. And again, they have maybe a look of sorrow on their heart and grief on their heart. And they need somebody to tell them about the Lord. Who else is going to tell them? In the day when so many people are searching for hope, it is imperative that everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ be able to tell someone how they can be saved. By the way, it is a message of hope. It is a message of blessing. It is a message of forgiveness. It is a message of grace and mercy. It is a message of peace. Humility and love in this message. No one can come to Christ without humility. Why would any believer not want and learn how to communicate this message? Why would any believer not want to communicate or not want to learn this message? If you have something to write with, I'm going to encourage you to write some of these things down. I believe God would have me preach this message for more than one reason. And the second reason is that there might be someone here right now or someone that's hearing me right now that you do not know for sure that if you died at the end of this service that you would be in heaven. By the way, I believe that according to God's word, we can know that we're on our way to heaven. We don't have to hope so, might be so, could be so. We can know so. So if that's you, you're here today. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here. But you say, you know what? I don't know that. Listen very carefully to this next little bit of time. Because what you're going to hear is not from me. It's from the Bible. But according to God's word, if you will listen to what I'm saying and what God is saying, excuse me, from his word, you can know you're on your way to heaven at the end of this meeting. You don't have to doubt ever again. You can know that. Would you go with me to the gospel record of John? If you've turned away from it, turn back to John in chapter 3. I'm going to give you six things this morning. The Bible way of knowing heaven is your eternal home. The Bible way of knowing heaven is your eternal home. You say, Pastor Turner, are there six different things? Five, four, three? What if I have eight different things? That's fine. Have eight. But these are the six that God gave me. Our gospel track is a little different even than what I'm going to give you right now. So I'm not contradicting it. You can use these gospel tracks. These gospel tracks have the message. Oh, that's a prayer card. Hey, Kathy, we're praying for you. You can use these gospel tracks right here. The Bible way to heaven. There happens to be six on there. I wasn't looking at it when I wrote it. But so listen carefully. If you would like to be able to tell somebody the gospel, here is a way you can do that. Number one, I would take them to John 3:16. John 3:16, where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Number one, I would let that individual know that God loves them. God loves them. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've said, no matter what side of the tracks they're from, God loves them. And I would emphasize that. Yes, it's a famous verse, and they may even be familiar with it. And by the way, I would emphasize to them, you know, sir, ma'am, you can't do anything to earn God's love. And secondly, you can't do anything to lose God's love. Because 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. So it's not just that God loves you, God is love. And so I would stress that, and I would always go back to that. By the way, I want to just say this from my heart. I am not a salesman. I'm a deliverer of a message. You're a deliverer of a message. We're not trying to sell anybody. We're not trying to sell people Jesus. Remember what he said? It is finished. Turn to the book of Romans now, if you would, please. Romans. God loves you. Emphasize that. And by the way, that's a great reminder for you today and a great reminder for me. God loves me. You can say that right now. You can say it to yourself. God loves me. There's nothing that can change that. Nothing. Isn't that a miracle? The holy God, the Creator God who said, let there be light, and there was light, loves you. Powerful. Number two, I would take them to Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10. This is a very important point. This is very important. I would emphasize to them that you're emphasizing this is what the Bible says, by the way. Let's see what God's Word says. Keep that in mind to emphasize that. I would emphasize to them, number two, that everyone is a sinner. Everyone is guilty before God. And this is so important. Without someone acknowledging this point, they cannot be saved. It's impossible. If someone is not willing to acknowledge that they're a sinner, there's no way they can be saved. This is the humility part of it. Look what the Bible says in Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, none righteous, no, not one. And you can say, you know what, Bob? That means me. Ben Turner is not righteous. Ben Turner was born in sin, and Ben Turner chose to sin hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I'm a sinner, Bob. And the Bible says there is none righteous. So, Bob, that would mean you're a sinner too. Bob, do you believe you're a sinner? Do you believe you've ever broken God's law? Sometimes what you can do right here, I don't have it in my notes today, but sometimes what you can do right here is you can go to the Ten Commandments. Some people use the Ten Commandments regularly in their witnessing. I don't use it regularly. That doesn't mean you shouldn't. I'm just saying I don't. But a way that you can bring someone to recognize the laws of God is to go back to the Ten Commandments. And I don't know too many people that would say, I've never lied. And I'm not going to ask in here today because there'd be every hand should be up, because then I wouldn't want to put you out to lie in church, because then you'd say you've never lied. So that would be a lie. Anyway, what I'm saying is, this is vital. Because if I don't believe I'm a sinner, why do I need a Savior? If I don't believe I'm a sinner, why do I need a Savior? I am a sinner. The Bible says so. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned. And you could just emphasize, hey, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous. Everyone has sinned. Everyone is a sinner. You can talk about that word, come short, come short. Okay, it has the idea, I like to use the illustration of a dartboard. And the goal with a dartboard or a target type thing, maybe bow and arrow shooting, is the bullseye, right? That's the goal. And anytime you don't hit the bullseye, you've come short. Well, if the bullseye represents God's holiness, if the bullseye represents the glory of God, I don't hit it at all. I've never hit it. I will always miss it, because that's what the Bible tells me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone's a sinner. Then I would take them to Romans 6 and verse 23. And number three, I would emphasize, by the way, I would go back and I would say to them, now don't forget, God loves you, Bob. God loves you. God loves me. God, this message today that I'm giving you, Bob, it's on my heart. Somebody told me, and I must tell you this message. And what you do with this message is between you and God, but I must tell you this message. God loves you, Bob. Bob, the Word of God says that you're a sinner. Word of God says that I'm a sinner. And also, the Word of God says, number three, sin has an eternal penalty. Let's emphasize the word eternal. Okay? The penalty of sin does not stop. That's not the word I wanted, but it's an eternal penalty. We know the Bible does not speak about... goodness sakes. It starts with a P, I think. Purgatory, thank you. The Bible does not speak of purgatory. There is no such thing, okay? No matter what you've heard, and I'm not trying to be unkind, you're not going to find it in the Bible. It's not there. It is in certain churches' teachings because man made it up. We're not here to talk about what man has made up. We're here to talk about what God has said in His Word. So it's either an eternal blessing in heaven or it's an eternal punishment in hell. And I take them to Romans 6:23 and I read the first part of the verse, which says, "The wages of sin is death." And I usually stop right there. The wages of sin is death. Wages of what? Wages of sin. Hey, Bob, what did we just talk about? The Bible says all have sinned. So that means, Bob, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, and sin has an eternal penalty. Bob, do you know what the word wage means? And we might talk about what that means. The word wage means payment. So the payment or the wage, you have a job, Bob. You get paid every 2 weeks. Why do you get paid? I get paid because I work. Well, the Bible here says every man is a sinner. That means you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. What is the payment on sin? It's death, Bob. It says it right here. For the wages of sin is death. And then I might go down to Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. Which says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," and notice, Bob, what it says, "death by sin." Sin brings death. And so death passed upon how many men, Bob? All. That means the eternal penalty has passed upon me. By the way, this isn't speaking about men as in males. It's speaking about mankind. "For that all have sinned." There it is again, Bob. You know, it's amazing how God explains to us clearly how we can know how we can be forgiven, though. We're going to talk about that, Bob, in just a minute. But he makes it clear, Bob, we're guilty. The penalty of sin is death. And we explain that. Revelation 20:14 is a great verse to show about the penalty of sin relating to death. Because it's not just, as some would teach, dying and sleeping. We have an eternal soul. An eternal soul. So it's going to go somewhere and live forever, or it's going to be punished forever. It's not going to sleep, and that's it. That's not in the Bible. Look what it says in Revelation 20:14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the," and I ask him because I'm showing them from the Bible. I say, "What's that word, Bob?" And he says, "Second." And I say, "Okay, yeah, second death." And then I show Bob Romans 6:23 and Revelation 20:14. The word death is the same death. So, Bob, if it's the second death, what's the first death? And we try to, you know, we dialogue a little bit. The first death is obviously the body. No one can avoid that unless you're Elisha or Elijah or there's a couple others, you know, that got caught up in that way. What's that? Right, Enoch walked with God and was not, you know. Or if you're here when the rapture takes place. But most people are going to have to die, and we explain that. And then I say, Bob, the Bible says, though, there's a second death. Bob, this is a spiritual death. The first one is physical. By the way, again, if you're here this morning and you don't know you're on your way to heaven, listen very carefully right now. If you die without Christ, there is no second chance. I don't say that with I'm glad for that, okay? I say that with a broken heart, really, because how many countless people have said no to the gospel? And they've already passed on. I'm not trying to bring up people in your life or even in my life, but there are many that way. But you're still alive. You still have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. But the Bible says that if you don't say yes to Jesus, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Sin must be paid for. I explained that. Sin must be paid for. Either you're going to pay for it, Bob, or you're going to allow God to pay for it. And Bob, now I really want to show you from God's word this good news, because remember, God loves you, Bob. Remember, you're a sinner, Bob, and so am I. Bob, sin has a penalty. It's death and hell with no way out. But here's the good news. Bob, look what it says here in Romans 6:23. And I go back to Romans 6:23, and I show him the second part of the verse, which says, but the gift of God, Romans 5:8. Number four, Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid the penalty. So now we're going to explain from the Bible how the penalty has been paid. Remember what I asked you at the beginning. Again, I'm not saying that we're robots and you have to go out and talk to people exactly like Pastor Turner, okay? You don't have to do that. In fact, I hope you don't. Be you, all right? Be yourself. But you, here's the thing, though. You have the same Holy Spirit, if you're saved, in you that I have in me. Isn't that true? Yes? Yes, that's true. We've looked at that in the Bible. You have God's Spirit, I have God's Spirit. So that's the saying. God will use you differently than he'll use me. But the message is going to be the same, God, the gospel. The burden should be the same. My burden, your burden should be the same. In other words, we should have a burden to get, even so, send I you. Bob. Good news. You don't have to pay the price, Bob. Jesus Christ paid the price. Romans 5:8. Look what it says. But God commendeth his love. And I stop right there and I say, you know what? That word commendeth means God showed his love. God proved his love. Remember what we said earlier. God loves you, Bob. I don't know why I picked Bob, but Bob's going to hopefully get saved. He's at least hearing the gospel, okay? Bob, what did we say earlier? God loves us, right? For God so loved the world. Here it is again. God commendeth his love. Bob, love always is action. You can't just say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and never do anything to show our love. Love always shows that it loves. Here's God. Bob, you're about to see how God is going to show you he loves you. It's not just Bob, I love you. It's Bob, I love you. Here's how I love you. I love you this much. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. And I stop right there and I always say, there it is again, Bob. You and I, sinners. Look what it says though, Bob. Christ died for us. Remember what the penalty of sin was? The penalty of sin is death. Okay. So that means the Bible says right here, Jesus Christ died in your place. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ died in my place. And then I turn over to John 3. John 3:17. And I say, hey, This is the word of God. Hey, Bob, I want you to know something. This is not my word. This is God's word. Let's see what God's word says. Again, remember, number four, Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid the penalty, which the penalty is death. We read John 3:16 earlier. Let's read John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world is saved through Jesus. You're saved. I'm saved through Jesus, not any church. The death of him, the burial of him, the resurrection of him paid the penalty once and for all. Jesus Christ died in your place. But Jesus Christ didn't stay dead. He is alive. He is risen. He paid the penalty for you. He said in John 14, 6, sometimes I quote verses. I try to show all verses, but sometimes I'll quote verses. Jesus said unto him, a man by the name of Thomas, he said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Good news, Bob. The penalty of sin has been paid. Your penalty, Bob. My penalty. And then I go back to Romans 6:23 and I say, Bob, it's been paid. Number five, I say, Bob, according to God's word, eternal life is a gift that must be received. Eternal life, forgiveness of sin, it must be received. Here's what God's word says in Romans 6:23. Remember, we read it earlier. For the wages of sin is death. We talked about that. But the gift of God, the gift of God. And I explain a gift. Can a gift be earned? No, a gift cannot be earned. If there is some earning to be done, it is not a gift, it is a payment. But God says eternal life is a gift. You cannot earn it. You can't come to church enough to get it. You can't give enough in the offering to get it. It's not a gift if that is the prerequisite. But the gift of God is eternal life. And then I say, through who? And I usually have the person read it. Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, it doesn't say through the church. It doesn't say through baptism. It doesn't say through good works. It doesn't say through, it says through a person. Eternal life is a gift for you, Bob, through Jesus Christ. But a gift must be received. It is impossible to be good enough to be saved. I said that already. It is impossible to earn the forgiveness and go to heaven. Here's a reference to write down. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness, but by his mercy. A lot of people think, I've done a lot of good. Surely I'm going to go to heaven. That's not how you go to heaven. I'm glad you've done a lot of good, but that's not what takes you to heaven. There are no scales in heaven to weigh good deeds, bad deeds, whichever one is the most. Oh, okay, you got a lot of good deeds, you're in. No, there's no such scale. It's never in the Bible. It must be received. And then lastly, I take him to Romans 10. And I say, according to God's word, Bob, here's a way you can receive God's gift. What is God's gift? Eternal life. Who paid for it? Jesus Christ. How did he pay for it? He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. Romans 10. And I say, number six, Bob, we must receive God's gift. I want to encourage you to receive God's gift of eternal life today. Now, I can't twist anybody's arm because I'm not selling. I'm just giving, right? But there's nothing wrong with saying like that. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what, Bob? Saved. What do you think you're saved from? Saved from what, Bob? Eternal death. You want him to be able to know what he's saved from. Just be saved, you know. You know, I got saved one day. I stepped out off the curb and somebody pulled me back. I almost got hit by a car. I got saved. No, that's not what it's talking about. This is a spiritual salvation. So you want to make sure he understands why do I need to be saved? Because without salvation, I have eternal death. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And I say, whosoever, Bob, means anybody. You can put your name right in there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I review everything again. I won't review right now, but I review everything again. This is the most precious message. Jesus said to his disciples in John 20, even so send I you. He wasn't sending them to build big buildings. Nothing wrong with big buildings. But he wasn't sending them to big buildings. He was sending them to preach the gospel. He wasn't sending them to take care of physical needs, although it's nothing wrong with that, and we should do that. But we shouldn't do that more than we do deliver the gospel. They can go together, by the way. He didn't send them to have VBS. But if we put the gospel in there, and it's all in there, in everything, the songs, the preaching, maybe not the games, you know. Tug of war, I don't know where we have the gospel in that. But anyway, water balloons. But why do we have VBS? To get the gospel. Why do we have a church picnic? To eat food, right? Oh, yeah, sure. To socialize? Yeah. Have a good time? Yes. But you know what? We're looking for ways. Even at Monday Park, we're looking for ways. And I'm not doing enough of it. That's why I'm preaching this. Honestly, my heart's been greatly burdened. We're looking for ways we can get the gospel out. Time is short. And I'm sure everyone here knows someone who's not a believer. I'm not saying we beat them over the head with it, but they better know that what we know about the gospel. At least know that. This is the gospel. They can't make anybody receive it. Yesterday, one of the people that took a track, I was told, took a track and within seconds threw it on the ground as hard as they could throw down something. You know what? Whether they knew what it was or not, we'll never know. But that happens. But it's not my responsibility for everybody to receive the gospel. But it is my responsibility to give the gospel. There is no other way to eternal life in heaven other than the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is not a philosophy. It is a reality. Philosophizing. That is a word. Okay. I thought I might be making up a word today, but no. I used to make up a lot of words, but I've quit doing that. I'm getting better English. Thanks for praying for me. No, we're here to give the reality of the gospel message. One more verse. Would you turn with me to Ephesians 6? I know this is not the normal Sunday morning message, but I have no doubt in my mind that this was the will of God. Ephesians 6:19. Think about it as we read it. I'll read it. You follow along. Think about it. What the author is Paul. He's writing to the Christians, the church at Ephesus. And notice what he writes. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. What is utterance? Prayer, speaking on my behalf, that utterance, talking, I believe it's praying, may be given unto me. Now, think about all the requests Paul could have asked for. Notice what he asked for. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That verse just leapt off of the text when I was reading it. Two reasons. Number one, that's the prayer request that he had. Of everything he could have asked for. I think he could have asked for so many other things that utterance be given unto him. But we see the priority in his heart. And the second thing that really motivated me was, open my mouth. Unless you are in sign language and working in the deaf ministry and you're using your fingers to talk to people with the gospel, there is no other way, I guess you could write it out, But the most effective way, in most cases, to get the gospel out is we must open our mouth. The truth is here. By the way, if you're on your way to heaven, the truth is there. I just gave you an outline or a way you could talk to somebody about the gospel. If you don't have time to do any of that, you can tell somebody how you got saved. You can just tell someone how you became a Christian. And you should be able to verbalize that simply, right? It doesn't have to be long. You might not have much time. That would take some time, what we just did, and what we went through. But if you don't have much, you can tell somebody how you, in other words, but you have to still open your mouth. Words aren't going to come out with your mouth shut. Amen. You're right. Paul's right. So I end with this verse because this is what we ought to be praying. Like Paul of old, we ought to say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I might meet somebody today when I'm going to the store, and I know it seems strange and awkward, but Heavenly Father, I want to have an opportunity to open my mouth and just talk about you, even if it's for 30 seconds. I want to be able to give a gospel track, one every day minimum, unless you're incapacitated at home." These are great ways to give the gospel when we don't have a lot of time to open our mouth. And we should use them. We should use them. Thank you for using them. Keep using them. Jesus was just about to leave the earth. And he said to the disciples, "Even so, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Church, I believe that charge has not stopped. 2024, I don't believe that charge has stopped. I think it's still for you and for me. Pray for me. I want to open my mouth boldly. Not harshly, but boldly. We don't need to ruin the name of Christ with a harsh witness. We need to speak the truth in love. And then as we come to the close of this message, I know, I'm quite confident there's at least one, maybe more. You're sitting here today and you don't know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. Like Pastor Kevin said, you're in the right place. You're surrounded by people that want you to know and would love to rejoice with you that today you get that settled. In a minute, the piano's going to play like it does every Sunday. I'm going to ask us today, first off, I'm going to ask you today, if you're not sure you're saved, when that piano plays and we're standing and heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask that you would come to the front. If you're not sure you're saved, you say, "Pastor Turner, I want to get this settled today. I've doubted about it long enough. I'm going to ask you to come." Don't be embarrassed. Nobody here is going to say anything to offend you. They're going to say everything to encourage you. Secondly, I believe it is imperative that God's people, with the help of the Lord, spread the gospel message in a greater way.